In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A great prophet has risen among us. God has visited his people. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, consider from this our gospel for this day. Consider first the crowd. For soon afterwards, Jesus went to a city called Nain and his disciples, and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, Tethnekos, a man who had died, was being carried out of that city. Managanes Huios, the only son was he of his mother. And she, the mother, according to our gospel, was herself already a widow. And a great crowd, records St. Luke, was also with her. Therefore, the company of Jesus' disciples, plus one great crowd following after Jesus, plus another great crowd following after her, equals one humdinger of a crowd. It's getting a little crowded with this crowd. Consider, therefore, first, the crowd. For from this teeming multitude of persons came the following. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, records St. Luke. And fear seized them all. And they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. Huh. Not bad, eh? Great prophet. God himself. Quite right. Right? So right are they. So right they regularly seem to be. Indeed, at times it seems that those following Jesus, those heralding and celebrating Jesus, it seems that these have it all figured out. You are the Christ, declares Peter at a later time. Son of the living God, adds he in another gospel. And there is more. They say more about Jesus. Lord is he, the coming one is he, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Protos is he, the first, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, Rabbi meaning teacher, Messiah meaning again Christ, the one about whom Moses in the law wrote and the prophets. So how much of the scriptures are we talking about here? King of Israel, even Son of God, add the others. And yet another gospel, that is to say, these things are offered especially in the narrative of another gospel. You know the one I'm talking about. And it all happens as early as chapter 1 of all things in that other gospel that I'm talking about. What do they think they know about Jesus? What do they think they know? Yes, at times it seems that those following Jesus have it all figured out. Lord, to whom shall we go? Declares Peter. You know, I can't get away from that other gospel sometimes. You have the words of eternal life, adds he. For we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So there you go. Case closed. Enough said. or so it would seem. Yet in the end, and we know this, at least the first part of this, in the end, it wasn't just the cruciform purpose of the great prophet that escaped these persons. No, it wasn't just that. It was even more importantly, Jesus' very person, that they were unable to truly and finally fathom. We know his father, they declare. We know his mother, they add. But do they really? His father is Joseph, or so they think. And his hometown is Nazareth. And excuse me, this is just the wrong place. Is any good thing able to be from Nazareth? Asks Nathanael. And it's a good question. You don't know where I'm going, responds Jesus. And that's not all, declares he. You don't even know where I'm from. Now, if they don't know where he is from, what do they not know about Jesus? A great prophet has risen among us. God has visited his people. How right they are. At the same time, however great is their failure to know how right they are, great is their need to know even more. On the road to Emmaus, we'll get back to the gospel that we're actually supposed to be focusing on for this morning. On the road to Emmaus, they will therefore say once more, we had held him to be a prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all the people. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But he was not, or so they thought. But why was he not, in their thinking? Mighty in word and deed before God, they say. Not, mind you, mighty in word and deed as God. Because it never dawned on them that he just might be Yahweh in the flesh. O foolish men, declares Jesus, foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? So beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, again, how much of the scripture are we talking about? Beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. And when he was at table with those two less than discerning disciples at a later time, when he was at table with them, taking the bread and blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to them. And then, records St. Luke, their eyes were opened. Then did they see. For even now, of these very same things are all given to see. Of these very same things are all given to know that which was first unknown. A great prophet has arisen among us. God has visited his people. Indeed, in the opening up of the scriptures and in the breaking of the bread, he visits them still. For Jesus was no mere prophet like Elijah before him. Raising the dead like Elijah before him, however great the first Elijah may well have been, and he of course was great. No, in Jesus, God himself has visited his people. not as he had before. So, friends, there is great value and importance to this, our consideration of the crowd. There is an importance also to the matter of considering also in all of this from our gospel for this day, the woman, the mother of Nain, for whom neither son nor husband remain at first. For at first, utterly desolate is she, given the reality of her circumstance, bereft of a future, without son and without husband, bereft of a future is she, bereft of a hope is she. Small wonder, is it not? For of such is this world, life, yours, mine, of such is life apart, that is, from technikos, he who was dead, but is no more, apart, that is, from monogenes huios, a one and only son. But now we speak of a one and only son who is far greater still than the one that she had, that she knew, that was returned to her that day. So consider the woman, but don't fail to consider also the son. Consider especially our son, the one who is son to us. Consider Jesus, for in him alone does the weeping of the bereft truly and finally cease. For in him alone does a bearing, a touching, a dying, and a rising truly redound to that which is new, to new beginnings, to the fear of God, and to unending glory. A great prophet, technikos, has risen among us. God himself, monogenes huios, has visited his people, that ours might be both a husband and a son everlasting. His visitation be yours both now in this time of the opening up of the scriptures and of the breaking of the bread, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.